Welcome to episode, are we 24? 24, we've been doing this for 24 weeks. Episode 24 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea and I'm here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we have a wonderful special guest today. Her name is Danielle. Say hi, Danielle.
Hello.
And Danielle is actually the owner of Pink Elephant Records.
Yes, I am. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And what's the address here?
It is 2240 North Scottsdale Road. I am in suite 102. Sometimes it shows up as 1B Bravo, and that's technically in Tempe.
And what are your store hours?
Tuesday through Thursday, I am 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, I am 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and I am closed on Sunday and Monday.
Awesome. Okay, and so we're actually here at Pink Elephant recording, so thank you so much for opening your doors to us and then inviting us in your space.
My pleasure.
Especially on your day off.
I just would have been sleeping, so gets me out of bed.
Really quick, I'm going to go ahead and highlight some events. The first event that I want to highlight is actually at Palabras Bilingual Bookstore, and it's in the Hosh Gallery again, and there's new works by Craig Cleveland and Jeff Slim, and it's the soundtrack to actually, we're providing the music to Crate Creepers, the All Ladies Record Club that I'm in. So again, it's first Friday, December 7th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the address is 1738 East McDowell Road in Phoenix. And one more event that I wanted to highlight, it's Grumpy's Clubs for Claws, December 1st, 2018. It's at O'Neill Park, which is 6448 West Missouri. Glendale 85301, and basically it's going to be a host of car clubs. There's Identity Car Club, Old Memories, Classics, Cultura, On the Scene, Slow Lane Familia, and 64 Promotions. Most of all, the help, basically it's a fundraiser, so bring toys, it's a toy drive, and promote for a good cause. There's going to be entertainment, fun booths, and it's for the whole family, so definitely come through and show some support over there over in Glendale. And was there any events you wanted to highlight?
Not at this time.
Not at this time? Well, if you do, we'll highlight them for you.
I appreciate it. We just opened about a month and a half ago, so we're still getting our legs up.
Yeah, so it's so that's so interesting. I'm so excited to talk to you about so many different things. So let me go ahead and get through the few things here, and then we'll go ahead and jump over there. And do we have any pickups, Andrew?
We spent most of our money in California for all of our record budget, so
I feel like we got something.
We actually bought a collection of records for on the low, a whole bunch of funk and disco that we were able to acquire.
Yeah, so we got some fun stuff in there, but we might be selling at the Downtown Phoenix Record Show, which we've already talked about on here. That's December 8th, so we're gonna have a table there. And the Crate Creepers are also going to have a table there. We're kind of going to be splitting duties and sharing the table. But so if you want to see some of the stuff that we bought that we're basically saying, hey, we don't want this, whether not because we think it's bad, we just don't want it for whatever reason, whether we have a duplicate or whatever, you guys can go ahead and look through that. And do you have any personal pickups lately?
Most of my time and money has been going into the shop. But on the first, we did see the Selector live at... Valley Barf, and I did pick up their most recent album Daylight there and got it signed by Miss Pauline Black while we were at it. So that's really my only recent, unless you count stuff I bought for the shop that I'm gonna keep one or two items. My husband has a really good lucky charm when he goes to estate sales. If I leave him to it, he just picks up really beautiful, interesting stuff. And I think he got into a conspiracy theorist home because he pulled out like some spoken word stuff, like from Truman Capote. And then there's like a UFO record that's a guy basically reading a bunch of interviews and files about UFOs. But then there was like four records about the JFK assassination, two of them including Lee Harvey Oswald actual interviews. So I'm keeping one of those. So I will count
those
that
are
as
amazing.
An acquisition.
Yeah. Those are, and that's what I always tell people too. Like, we buy obviously music, like that's kind of why most people buy records. But we also buy, like, I like buy a lot of like cool children's records or just crazy stuff that I see. I'm like, this is just interesting. I always say, I've said it here on the podcast a few times, one of my biggest regrets was not buying this Seance record that I found. And I wanted to buy it. And it just that day I was like, I'm tight. I just can't spend it. And then I went back and it was gone and I wanted to cry. And it's been probably like 3 years and I still think about that record.
The one that got away. Oh no, I feel you. That's right up my alley. I've never heard of that. Now I want to find it.
I don't honestly remember any details about it, but it was just.
I just remember the cover.
What was the cover?
It was just a dude. It was like a dude's face, and it was like almost like a zombie face, and it was like green and like purple.
That sounds amazing.
And so the worker like played it for us, and it was like the most oddball thing.
Was it like a guided seance or just a recorded?
It's just like a recorded like seance of this guy who's all 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 5.
Well, that sounds even better.
Yeah.
I know one of my things that I'm looking for right now is I know that the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, I can't remember the instrument he played. I meant to look it up. But I know that he recorded some albums. So that would be, I haven't even looked like out there, but I was like, it popped into my head one day and I'm like,
you know,
I
they exist.
Because like, I'm a tiny little goth child inside. And so I like the morbid, weird stuff. And that's why I find as I'm getting older, that's kind of what I'm gravitating towards.
Well, have you seen, I think, did you ever see that thing online? And I think it was back in the day on Donahue or something like that. So they were talking about the Church of Satan. And I want to say it was his daughter. Did he have a daughter?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like, she looks just like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I never put that together. Yeah, she did. She looked like a metal Taylor Swift with like the feathered hair.
I'm gonna post a picture
like Kelly Bundy and Taylor Swift together. That's what she looked
like. But like a... Because Taylor Swift looks probably more friendly and soft. Like
she had hard eyes.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think it started with a Z.
Zena. Wasn't it Zena? Like Zena?
Yeah, something like that.
But I remember. Oh, my gosh. Every time I see that picture, I just die laughing inside.
I'm never going to get that out of my head. I'm not the biggest fan of Taylor Swift.
I'm not a Taylor Swift fan either. But when I saw that picture, I was just like, that's Tay-Tay.
That's gonna be her next phase. Like she tried to co-opt the feminist thing, yes. And then now it's gonna be like, now I'm a Satanist. Sorry, I don't know if that's what she sounds like. Sorry, that was sort of judgy.
It's okay.
Jared, why don't you give our social media handles?
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Our social media handles. Mine. For the podcast, it's Just Keep Spinning Podcast. You can email us and say you love us, you hate us, you want to feature your music, you want to be interviewed, you want to highlight an event. It's justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Google Play, or Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, help me out here.
Andrew. Anywhere podcasts can be listened to, and please review on any of those formats.
Yes, if you are able to, please leave a review. We'd really greatly appreciate it. We even appreciate it if you're just listening to us babble on right now. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks anybody.
And what about for the shop? Where can people follow you?
We are Pink Elephant Records AZ on everything. Email is pinkelephantrecordsaz@gmail.com. And then all social media is just Pink Elephant Records with the AZ tacked on. Someone had this straight up one already. So
we ran into that same problem.
With the podcast.
Yeah, you listened to some of the episodes of all our frustration with these guiding fidget spinners.
And the worst things in the world to like co-opted your jam.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. We'll find that kid one day.
But I will say, the Just Keep Spinning AZ, it's literally just one picture of a fidget spinner. Oh, like, they wanted to launch, like, a fidget spinner thing, and they just abandoned it because the stock crashed or whatever. Oh, my
God. Fidget spinners was a thing for, like, a month.
Yeah.
We just had this conversation recently with Aaron, off mic, but about how all these people invested in this money in these fidget spinners, and then the market just came
up. Two words. Beanie Babies.
Yes.
That was my childhood. That was my mom being, these are going to be worth money. Like growing up, we had bags and bags and bags of New Kids on the Block stuff that we could not touch because it's going to be valuable. That's my mom. And then when she was she got her house foreclosed on several years ago, and we were sort of cleaning out the house. And in the back of her closet, there were still unopened New Kids on the Block, like birthday stuff, hats, gift wrap.
What did you do with it?
I know we use the gift wrap to wrap some gifts for my sister-in-law because she has super nostalgia for that period. So I think most of it we gave to her. She had gum. My mom had gum.
Really?
I hope she threw it away.
So she was thinking it was going to be like the resurgence. I remember when they're like in the 90s, there was a resurgence for like the monkeys and all that. Like, but like for buying and nostalgia.
I guess.
She was probably like, this is an investment.
Yeah,
she was
exactly. Exactly. This is going to be my retirement.
Oh, nope. Your poor mom. I'm sorry. Stupid NKOTB ruining her life.
I will say I have 3 New Kids on the Block maxi singles in store right now.
I'm like, oh, I'll check those out.
Someone for nostalgia is going
to
want them.
Exactly. It's very much true.
I did find an answer, though, to the Anton LaVey thing.
Oh, what's her name?
It's Zena. You're completely right.
Z-E-N-A, right?
2 E's.
Oh, 2 E's.
Okay. And then I don't know how to pronounce it correctly. The instrument he plays it. It's Calliope? Calliope? C-A-L-L-I-O-P-E.
C-A-L-L-I-O-P-E. Yeah, Calliope, I guess. I thought
that's what sounds it about right to me.
It's something with keys, so it's like an organ, I think.
Oh, okay, like something similar.
I don't want to play it and have it sound.
I see what you're saying.
But yeah, I want to find it.
That's so interesting. So we'll keep an eye out for those records.
Yeah, it's all good. So I will do my segment. So as you know, every episode we do, when we have a guest, we ask them, do you know the number one song on your birthday?
I actually do.
What is the number one song on your birthday? Let's see if we have the same answer.
Well, the day I was born, it was Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Hold on.
I think it was Bonnie Tyler.
Hold on. I think I'm 100% positive you are right.
So how do you feel about that song?
It's okay.
Did you eclipse?
Yeah, when it's
you
were Bonnie born? Tyler.
You just eclipsed everybody
yeah, I know,
else.
Right?
Okay, and then the top 10 for your 14. Do you know the top 10 when you were 14?
If it's what defines my life, it's really depressing. It's Candle in the Wind.
Oh, John. Man.
But the re-release after Princess Diana
yeah,
died.
Yeah, the Princess
I would rather it be of the original. I'm sorry. I mean, rest in peace. But
yo, rip Princess Die.
14, right?
14.
I think I might. I think I did. That's okay. But yeah.
Yeah, I did it like 2 or 3 times because it kept giving me to like the UK charts. And I'm like, no, no. Which actually, though, that was the same. It was everywhere. And yeah. It was like almost the whole year.
I remember.
Was looking, it was like from like April down to the end of the year. And then it was like, and it went 2 weeks into the next year.
When Princess Diana passed away, my mom was devastated. Even though she's like Mexican and from here in Arizona, born in Tucson. Like, she was so crying and everything. Like, Princess Diana, mad respect, you know, for Lady Di, whatever they want to call her. But yeah, my mom was devastated and I didn't understand. I'm like, you don't even, like, you're not even English or...
It's like when JFK Jr. died. Like that was,
my
that
mom
was a big deal.
My mom was devastated because she's like, it was so sad. And she's like, and he was so hot.
But yeah.
That's what my mom said. She's like, he's so handsome. Like, I'm like, okay, mom.
Well, yeah, it sucks when the pretty ones die.
Poor people, I guess.
Which actually ties back. The first thing that popped in my head was in the movie Amelie. The French movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where, and it goes back to Princess Diana, that there's the news agent is all like so sad, like, oh, and there's a pretty one this time. And she's like, would it not matter more if
she wasn't
ugly?
Conventionally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, well, yeah, of course. She's like, look at Mother Teresa. Like, bitch.
That's amazing. So, well, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. So we're going to go ahead and get into... basically your life. So Danielle, are you from here in Arizona or?
I was technically born in Plainfield, Illinois, in the suburbs, but I was raised out in East Mesa.
Okay, and so what did you move here when you were like 3 or?
Like 1.
Basically you're from here.
I like to be technical because my whole family is from Chicago and sometimes it really comes out like being, growing up with my mother and you know her Chicago comes out pretty hard sometimes and so I am. Fortunately or unfortunately, get that from her. But I mean, yeah, for all intents and purposes, I guess I'm from here.
That's like Andrew. We always say like Andrew.
Yeah, I came out here when I was 4 years old. I came to Arizona, but I've been pretty much here my whole life. Technically, I'm from California.
Yeah,
but I was raised here in Arizona.
But he's trying to say he reps AZ.
I rep AZ. It's okay.
Well, you know, I'm only to the point where I can say. Like, yeah, I guess I can say that because I hated it so much. Growing up in Mesa, at least to me, was terrible. It's kind of a cultural dead zone, in my opinion, especially where I grew up. And since moving to Phoenix in, I think it was 2012, I've gained a whole new appreciation. I love living in Phoenix. So I finally really enjoy the state.
Oh, I'm happy. That makes me happy because I feel like there is that. I always tell people, I'm sure because you've listened, like, there's that kind of weird, like, thing where I don't know, it's like people just forget, or like they don't necessarily even forget about Arizona, they just think that there's nothing here, that we're devoid of just or void of anything. There's nothing. They're just like, oh, yeah, there's people that live there, but they don't really matter.
Yeah, we get ignored by so many artists touring, and they seem to forget that Phoenix is like the fifth most populated city in the country. I looked it up because I was getting mad that some of my favorite big name podcasts weren't touring and coming here, and I was getting had a real big attitude about it. They finally all did eventually come to Arizona, but yeah, it's obnoxious. I think we're all so spread out, and people just think of like ASU, and it's like it's just a college town, which I mean no shit on Tempe. Much culture originates from college towns in general.
Well, you think too, because like you're saying, you grew up in Mesa, so obviously with Phoenix, like, okay, if I say like I live in Glendale, they're like, where's that? I'm like, well, it's technically like it's a like suburb of Phoenix in a way, but like Mesa, because I feel like the big cities that people might know when they're not really from here is obviously Phoenix, Tempe because of ASU, Tucson, Scottsdale. So do you feel though like Mesa's in the shadow of Tempe?
I'd say that's fair. Mesa always felt, and I guess it's to me it still feels huge. It's surprising to me that it's not more well known, but I agree with that. Yeah, it's just there's nothing out there to put it. Yo, we got some malls, and that's really, and then one of them is closed. Like Fiesta Mall is gone.
But did that make you sad?
Kind of. That was my first mall. And that's actually my first record store was right by there. And it does not, it's not existed for a long time.
So you're like, growing up, like in your younger years, like, I don't know if you grew up like with both of your parents in the household, because I didn't, but like my mom always listened to music and stuff like that. So that was kind of like probably my first musical influence. Did you have like your parents or family members that listened to music?
I also pretty much just grew up with my mom. My dad was in and out, like visitation-wise, and then for a big chunk, like when I was really getting into music, he wasn't there. Both of them, as far as I can remember, were very just pop music, whatever's on the radio. My dad was a little more old-school rock and roll. My mom was, you know, she liked the Beatles. My biggest memories are like Billy Joel in her Chevy Spectrum, and I have a great, deep love of Billy Joel. But she'd axed most of her records by the time I was old enough to even pay attention. It was basically whatever was hot on the radio was what she listened to. So I probably, my cutting my teeth on pop music I got from her, but it took a lot more work to get into anything deeper than that.
So what kind of stuff did you get into, like start to find yourself, like start to discover that you liked?
I can tell you it was 1995, 1994. When like grunge first became a thing, I hated it. Because I was into hip-hop. I was my favorite. I loved TLC. That was my favorite band for a while. And then I don't know I don't remember the exact shift, but I mean, I have a real formative memory in my mind. I'd already started to listen to like rock stations.
So were you listening to like Power 92 and then you start listening to The Edge sort of thing?
Yeah. That would have been, I'm sure I was listening to The Edge because it was Hole. It was Doll Parts was on. Okay. And it's going to sound super morbid, but I was like, I was a very kind of depressed and even suicidal kid. And I remember just laying on my bedroom floor and being like, I want to die. And I don't even remember why. Like, it was just, you know, it's being morose. I was in sixth grade. Yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of an early onset. But, and then I wasn't paying attention. It was quiet. And I thought I heard my name. And so, they really want you. But, like, hearing it, it sounded like it said Danielle, they really want you. And I was like just something like snapped. And I went into my brother's room, yoinked his copy of Live Through This, and that's the copy I have to this day.
Oh, really? Is it a CD?
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I also have it on vinyl. I bought the reissue, but that was like actually it was getting into the rock music and like female driven.
I feel that's my thing. I know everybody loves to shit on Courtney Love, but I feel like she does not get her due, and people don't respect her as a person and a musician. Like, she's paved the way and done so much, especially in and I don't mean this in a negative way, but like a mainstream sense for like women and representing and fronting, like, and people just like to talk smack about her, and I don't like it.
Oh, I 100% agree. This is a pro Courtney Love story here. Because I think most hatred of her is rooted in misogyny.
Oh yeah, because the whole Kurt Cobain blah blah blah. Yeah.
I had to get over a huge, actually, I would distance myself from Nirvana. It's like, no, I like Hole. I like Courtney. It's like, you had to choose sides. And I was like, no, you don't. Like, he loved her and she loved him. And it was, like, and you can hear their influences in each other's music. Mm-hmm. And it's really, actually, once you fully accept that, and it's just a really beautiful thing. I, like, In Utero was really hard for me to get into when I was a kid. Now, it's my favorite Nirvana album. Aww. It's because you can just, you, I don't know, there, it sounds so much like a melding of the two of them.
Yes.
And yeah, no, that was, for me, it was the emotion that she was never scared of. And in my household, emotion was a very bad thing. Especially for me. I was constantly called a crybaby. Like, I'm just sensitive in general. Like, if I just see a particularly beautiful sunset, I can well up. Like, aww, it's real embarrassing.
That's awesome. That's not embarrassing.
But so, of course, music and art affects me very, very deeply. And harnessing, like, you can be not be embarrassed to be mad or to be sad and just revel in it and be, like, naked in it. And that's one thing that she taught me. And I think that's super powerful, especially for women.
I agree, because Courtney Love, she's, like, she does feel all these things, whether good or bad. And obviously, a lot of the bad gets expressed through the music, or just the negative or whatever she's going through, because she went through a lot. Yeah. But she's not afraid to be honest about it and not pretend. Because the whole, you know, the whole thing with the her and Gwen Stefani, because Gwen Stefani was more of like the squeaky clean, like, yeah, how she says she called her the cheerleader, which was completely true. And it's like Courtney was basically like, I don't give a fuck. Like, you're going to know me good and bad. You're going to know me fully through as a whole person, not just what I want you to see.
Yeah. Warts and all.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of the difference I was to tell people, like, between the two. And like, I don't know, I hate when I hear people talk trash. And I was really lucky, so I was really super, and I think I always carried it with me. It stayed with me, my love for hip-hop and R&B, especially because of the neighborhoods that I grew up in. So that's what everybody was listening to, that's what I listened to. But then I had my cousin Gilbert, actually. So my cousin Gilbert was from Tucson, and the big venue down there in Tucson was called Scrappy's. But he was super into, like, at that time when grunge was coming up, like, he was into that, and he was getting into, like, punk and stuff. And he's the one that actually told me about, like, the Lunatics and, like, just, like, Courtney Love. So,
the Riot Girls.
Yeah, the whole Riot Girl era of, you know, Bikini Kill. And, like, he was, like, I remember because you would hear the whole thing about the Courtney Love. Like, she doesn't really write her own music. Like, Kurt does it all for her. And he was, like, no. And listen, I don't know why he was like that, but he really was, like.
Listen to Pretty on the Inside. She wrote and recorded that where they ever met.
So I was really lucky, though, that I have my cousin who was actually a guy, luckily, that he was like, no, like, she does her own thing. They're influenced by each other. So that's what he explained. I was really young. I was probably like 12, but I was super lucky to have my cousin to guide me instead of being like full-on misogynistic asshole and being like, no, F Courtney. And like, he was like, yeah, you should listen to this. And he was the one that taught me about that stuff. So I was really fortunate in that sense. But I know a lot of other girls weren't, and they had to discover it on their own.
Yeah, actually, I mean, my brother was into him. I mean, technically, his copy of Nevermind was his CD, was a gift from me. You know, when you're young and your mom buys a gift for your sibling, it's like, okay, this is from you for their birthday. And I was like, I don't like them. I don't want to be that. And she was like, well, tough. And that's, again, that's my copy of Nevermind, because I went into his room and took it, and he didn't really care. But I remember the movie Tank Girl had come out, and in the commercial, they used Violet. And which actually makes sense, because Courtney Love was actually the music director, like, for the soundtrack. She did the soundtrack. And he was like, I remember him pointing out the song. And so, I mean, my older brother can be very casually misogynistic. You know, he can be kind of a butthead. But that was always one thing where I was very appreciative. He was never, like, a mega fan, but he wasn't scared of, like, female artists. He wasn't, like, a dick in that way. And he had a really broad taste in music. He liked everything. I remember I listened to Snoop Dogg Doggy Style, and that was his CD. he got to keep that one, because I kind of moved on.
Yeah. You started evolving and changing.
I was way too young to be listening to that. I can guarantee it.
There's a lot of stuff where I probably shouldn't have been listening to but I was. And we actually have a 13-year-old daughter, so my daughter, I don't even, like, because, you know, I became a parent really young at 19. So, but I was like, you know, those are things that I did think about myself. Like, am I going to let her just listen to certain things? So I do kind of just let her listen, but I try to listen to it with her too, so that she'll ask questions and we'll be able to answer them to make her understand either what they're saying. And sometimes she just listens to it because she likes the beat, like, I guess, or whatever it is. But I'm so glad you brought up Courtney Love. That makes me happy.
I always get weird looks with, like, she's one of my heroes. Like, being kind of a weird, awkward girl, like,
she doesn't care.
Yeah, and the thing, she is like that. She is. I mean, she's tall for a girl, and she's like, she's unapologetic, and that's just being self-possessed and knowing that what you got is good, and you're going to do it, and you're going to do it your way, and you don't have to listen to anybody else. And that was hugely formative for me, especially growing up. And just, I mean, I got my feminism from my mom. She'll deny it, but the older she gets, the more backwards she gets. But, and then, like, I think that was the perfect thing to come on top is Courtney Love kind of talking about feminism and sassy and stuff like that. And, like, I think most suburban girls, that was probably their first taste of it. And then they just got to grow and extrapolate from there. But, like, I'm so grateful for that influence in my life.
So do you still have any sassy mags?
I don't.
Because I never got sassy. I knew what it was, but I just never got it. But I will see. It's funny because I follow this, actually, accounts on Instagram. And they post, like, magazine or stuff, ads from the 90s and late 80s. And, like, there's a lot of sassy stuff in there that they'll post. And I'm like, that's so interesting to look back on. And there, but there's always, like, a feminist commentary to it, like, wow, I can't believe they were selling this to teenagers.
Sassy was really revolutionary. I actually, it was slightly before my time. I remember my best friend's older sister having it. She was the cool older sister. She actually had her, you know, her ear pierced all the way up the cuff, and
the Jane from Daria kind of thing.
Yeah. But, like, she's pretty and she's blonde, and, like, she was really into good music, and, like, that's where her music, my best friend's music taste, evolved. And she's like, she's more like college rock from the 90s. Mine veered into punk. But, like, she, I remember Sassy being around. And then, of course, like, following, like, I've seen all, like, the portraits and stuff from that they did of really kind of subversive musicians from the time. I remember Juliana Hatfield was in there talking about, like, how she was still a virgin, you know, being an adult woman in the 90s. And she's like, yeah, I'm a virgin. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Yeah,
who cares?
And, like, that was me. A great subject of, like, people were on top of that. We're like, ooh. You know, just people are gross about that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And, yeah, I mean, people, that was a topic that people obsessed about. I remember that because my best friend is a big fan of, like, Juliana Hatfield.
Well, and that's, like, if someone talked about that now, that's not surprising. But yeah. Back then, it was very, like, wow, like, you're talking about this, and you're putting it out there.
And especially, like, the message for young girls being, like, it's okay to still be a virgin. It's okay to wait. It's like, and she wasn't, like, I'm waiting for marriage. I'm waiting for God. It was just, like, no one's come around yet, like, that deserves it.
Yeah, that I'm, like, interested
it's okay.
In. Yeah.
I'm doing my career. It's cool. I date, but
it just hasn't happened yet, and yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, because exactly. they had Sonic Youth in there. They had Kurt and Courtney. They had Juliana Hatfield. I'm sure they had. Those are the ones I remember the most of. But, like, Sassy was super subversive, and it's. I wish it had lasted longer.
I got into Sassy now. Jane, did you ever read Bust at the beginning?
Yeah, I did. I got right into Bitch magazine though.
Yeah,
I
know.
Subscribed
Bitch.
To it for a while, and because once I got super interested in that, and I had my own money, Bust had become a little bit more glossy. And so for me, I felt like Bitch was like this is academic. I fought with that a lot within myself of, like, the
internal
fight
struggle
of to be like, I have to be a serious feminist, but I like fashion and I like my red lipstick.
You're like, I'm a multifaceted person. Okay?
Exactly.
I respect myself, but I also, you understand the layers and the underlining meanings of things and how one affects the other, like the whole aspect of. Okay, there's, like, the whole aspect of they say things, like, and I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole, but I'll say, okay, the Kardashians, for instance. Okay, yes, they have a platform and all this other stuff, but, and they're like, well, they can do whatever they want. And it's like, they can, but the choices that they're making, it's not in a vacuum. So, like, they're essentially making these choices because they want to satisfy the male gaze. It's not necessarily because that they're... Are they empowering themselves? Maybe to a certain extent or in a certain lane or way, but they're not doing it solely based off themselves. You know, why am I wearing lipstick right now? Well, I do like it, but at the same time, it's because I'm not brainwashed. I can't think of the word right now, but I'm
socialized
to believe that I look better with it on. So I'm wearing it.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Yeah, I mean, everything I would say, their entire lives are wrapped around the male gaze.
Oh, yeah.
They're not my favorite people on earth. I just, because I think they're especially shallow and can super appropriative. But, like, beyond that, it's like, oh, I don't really care. Kylie really irritates me, but.
I know, it's just one of those things. I'm in the same vein where I'm just like, oh, I just, like, roll my eyes.
Yeah, that's basically it. Like, beyond that, I'm not gonna, like, I, my big thing is I'm not gonna slut shame any of them or sex shame any of them. I don't even like that term. But yeah, it's like, do what you want. I don't want to see you so much.
I think it's just being honest. Like I said, that's why I use myself as an example. Like, I do wear the lipstick because it looks good on me, but I think it looks good on me because I was socialized and conditioned to believe that I look better with it on. Same with mascara.
Yeah.
Same with this and that. But that's the world we live in. So, you know, I guess we all straddle a line in a certain sense. So, but yeah, so I'm wearing lipstick, guys. Well, you can't see
my thing is, if it makes you feel good, do it.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not hurting anybody else.
And you're being, but you're acknowledging that, yeah, maybe I was socialized and beaten into this, but
I like it.
But like, yeah, you're being critical of it. You're acknowledging it. And that's the whole thing, like problematic media, songs, movies, especially from your childhood that you re-experienced and be like, oh, this is problematic. Like, oh, yeah. Like a lot of John Hughes.
I know. The long duck tongue and stuff.
Like, I read this spring, I read a really great article that Molly Ringwald wrote. I can't remember the publication.
I think I know what you're talking about because I read the same article.
Was it Huffington Post?
Yeah, yeah. Or Huffington Post. I think Wall it
Street.
Was.
I don't, or Raw New York Post. I don't know. I was reading it in the car with my best friend while we were driving in Washington. So I was ignoring her. But it was super amazing.
And what was your first concert?
My first concert was Debbie Gibson.
Oh my god, that's amazing. I don't care, that's amazing. It's like, so it speaks to the time of when, like, that was an era.
Yeah, that's for those who don't know, she was kind of like Tiffany. Most people know who Tiffany was because she had the Mull tour. She had the super big hit with the cover of I Think We're Alone Now, which again I have in stock. We just happened to get it. But I liked Debbie Gibson. I think I was, even from a child, I was very much of the, like, no, I have to be slightly more serious than everybody. Because she's a pianist. She played piano. She loved Billy Joel. That might have been, bringing it on back to Billy Joel.
A little influence there.
But another thing, she played piano. You never saw Tiffany play an instrument. So,
I've always been, I've loved all different types of music. Like, I've never been... Like, maybe at certain times, like, I looked like I was only into one type of music, but I've always, always been into all types of music. And, like, the Britney and Christina, like, I liked Christina because Christina could sing, okay?
And I liked it because she was subversive.
I loved the Dirty era, and I was, like, 17, 16 around that time, so that really spoke to me, where I was like, yeah.
See, that was right in the midst of my being really snotty and snobby. I'm like, I'm a punk, and that's all I listen to. But I saw it. You couldn't miss it.
You can avoid it, yeah.
And, of course, my older brother loved Britney Spears, of course. Because he's a
I love Britney
he's
Spears.
He's a typical boy, though, too. Like, my
I mean, how could you not when you're, you know...
Did you hear did you listen to old episodes? You hear him with Mariah Carey about the music video?
Yeah.
And I was like, of course you do, you pervert. You remember that video?
And that's funny. My brother loved Mariah Carey, but he liked her better before her divorce when she's a little more wholesome.
I liked both stages.
I'm sure in all honesty he does too, but
he's just trying to put up right. Yeah.
I prefer the wholesome Mariah. Well, not the dirty Mariah.
It did date back from then though. I remember him being into her before the little flip happened.
What's funny is that my cousin Davey and I always talk about Britney. And we always talk about our love for Britney Spears, and obviously Drea and his wife are like, you guys are just pervs.
No, but then, like, because I actually follow Britney Spears on Instagram, because I grew a soft spot. Like, there were some songs I liked, but I grew a soft spot for her, especially when during her breakdown.
Yes.
And, like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, I identified with her in some elements. So I was like, oh my god, like, this freaking soul, she's a human, and, like, you know, all this other stuff. So I follow her and I love Britney. I'll always champion her, but I'll send him, because we have a group chat, so I'll send him and his cousin David and his wife Monica, like, pictures of Britney or whatever. And then I'm like, here you go, you guys go, you
And we'll just put, like, hard eye emojis.
If I had a better relationship with my older brother, I'm sure we'd do that. But we're pretty distant, unfortunately. I mean, we have a real weird way with each other. It's very kind of dark and funny, but, like, we don't text.
You don't text, yeah.
Like, he's off in he lives in Florence with his family, and I mean, it's maybe we'd be closer if he lived closer, but I don't know.
I have a million siblings, but my older one, same. I don't like hate him. We're just not like that. Yeah, so it's fine.
My favorite thing is, though, his wife is literally 6 days older than me.
Oh,
we're
really?
The exact same age.
How funny.
It's real fun. She gives him way more hell for it than I do. So,
girl, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. So it's pretty great. I don't remember where that was going.
So we were saying your first concert. Oh, where was it at?
It was at, I think it was America West Arena. I think. I was five, so it was a long time ago. Yeah, but yeah. I was actually just telling this story recently. I mean, we were pretty well off when I was little. And then, like, things got really bad when I was a teenager. But I had probably, I don't know, in the first six rows at America West Arena. So on the floor. I remember this because during the intermission, they were selling roses. And I bought a rose to give to Debbie. And so my mom kept telling me to go. And I remember walking up to the stage. And it was a huge elevated stage. And I'm five. And I was itty bitty then. I was cute, tiny little. Like, I looked like a waif, you know. I had long limbs and long hair. And I remember the security guard kept turning me away.
Oh my
and
God,
it happened
dick.
Like three or four times. And eventually my mom insists that the entire crowd was then like paying more attention to me. Because I was just so cute. and then so eventually then, like, someone went and got me and, like, brought me up to the front of the stage. Like she's performing and everything. And then talking to an older woman who I later found out was her mother.
Oh, my God.
And who was, like, her manager. She was a momager. And she was like, you know, like, we're going to, at the end of the show, we're going to have, like, a thing. And we're going to bring people on stage. You want to come on stage? And I remember going, no. I vigorously shook my head and was like, no. I just want to give her the rose. And so I don't know if it was immediately then, but then I remember this huge security guard lifting me up and handing Debbie Gibson the rose. And then that was it. And I don't remember anything else about the show.
Do you remember, like, seeing her face when he gave her the rose or anything? Or was it
kind
just
of vaguely? Yeah. Of like.
Just like as quick or something.
Yeah. Okay. But she was still singing. So it was like one of those where they're interacting, doing the whole thing. And
yeah.
Yeah, so I remember, you know, she made eye contact, but that's about all I remember. It's fitting, though, because I remember then when I was in high school or middle school, it was like an Entertainment Tonight. You know, now she's Deborah Gibson, and she's going on Howard Stern and being raunchy. That she sang with Keith Morris's band After Black Flag, but not Circle Jerks. I can't remember. But there's her, like, singing on stage, like, I Want to Destroy You. And it was like, well, this is my interests converging. Like,
Debbie's evolved with me.
Yeah, exactly. If I find her on vinyl, it's not coming here. I'm going to keep it. I don't really want to listen to it, but it's just.
It's that nostalgic. And you have that warm, but it gives you the warm fuzzies.
I hear her in the grocery store sometimes.
I hear always that, only in my dreams or whatever.
Yes, exactly. I've heard that. I've heard Out of Blue and I've heard Electric Youth. Like, those are the three songs that get played in Walgreens. Safeway.
You're on my hangouts.
Yeah. My second concert was New Kids.
Oh, so it was New Kids.
It was my second one.
How cute. Well, it's okay because my first concert was NSYNC. Oh, no. Well, I guess technically, if you want to get technical, it was Ninja Turtles. They did a tour.
I went to that.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah, at Desert Sky Pavilion, right?
I think so. It was outside.
Yeah. On my personal Instagram, I have the Polaroid from then, and it's Santa was there, and there's the cutouts of the turtles, and it's me and my two brothers, and I have a Raiders jacket on embroidered with my name, same with my older brother, and for some reason my other brother randomly has a freaking Bengals jacket on embroidered with his name. I don't know why Bengals. I even asked my mom, and she's like, to be honest, I don't know. But yeah,
you
so
to be different. It's like me.
I know. All the children cannot be the same. But yeah, so, and we're sitting on by Santa, but that was the night of the Turtles concert, and he did not go, but he lived right down the street from the venue. So I still, to this day, I'm like, oh, you're a loser. You weren't there.
I wanted to go to that, and my parents said no.
I don't even think I wanted to go. I think my brother wanted to go. And so I was like, well, we have to take you both.
Yeah.
And I just remember being with my dad. So that was very rare that we did big events with him. Like he would have us every weekend, but we'd go to the arcade. It'd be like a little thing. And then. That I remember that being a big deal because it was like a concert kind of thing.
You went to the Turtles concert. How funny. Oh my gosh. That was my first concert technically, I guess, because it was actually, there was music and all the other stuff. And then, but I didn't actually go to a concert until I saw NSYNC. So my mom bought me the tickets or whatever, and I went and I saw them three times.
Oh my God.
Yes, three times. But they were amazing every time because they did put a lot into their act and they have good showmanship and all the other stuff they practice. So, it's okay. It's okay that you saw Debbie because I saw NSYNC, okay?
Well, not I've got New Kids. I barely remember it. We were very far away. And
is it one of those things where you remember kind of like going and then just kind of like you don't really remember specifics?
Yeah, yeah. I remember, I think, when they first came on stage and that was it. I want to say there was like, it was a big thing where they were like wired in or something with like, or there was a box that was lifted on the stage and they were in the box, but I could be blending that with something I saw on TV or something in a movie. Like, I just keep thinking of Boys for Now, Bob's Burgers, because I think that they did that. And so I'm like, am I getting it confused?
Yeah, you're like, am I melding that into my own memory?
Yeah, so I remember just being very far away and being like, this is a bummer. Debbie Gibson, I was like 5 rows away. Like, this sucks.
So when you were like in high school and stuff like that, did you start going to punk shows?
Yeah, that was probably, I mean, my first like rock concert proper was actually Not a Surf. I went by myself, and that was my first concert. I went by myself, and it was at a place called Gibson's that doesn't exist. That was off of Mill. Doesn't exist anymore. And I saw them open for Super Drag. So Super 90s. It was 1996. I mean, and that's still, it's not punk, but that was like my,
yeah,
my intro, my proper going to like a rock show. And it was like a club show. It was basically a bar. And my mom calling ahead, because I was going with two other girlfriends, and being like, okay, I'm going to have a bunch of 14-year-olds there. I just want to make sure that it's all kosher and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, don't do anything because they're going to watch you. And it was more my I had a friend that was very gregarious and would just like go up to people and just be like, hey. And she would
social.
Would talk smack. Though also, yeah, she'd be like, I don't like what you're wearing. Like, she was.
So you're like, don't get us into something.
And she was like, tell Autumn to keep her mouth shut. I'm not, well, we're not friends anymore, and I'm like 100% certain she wouldn't listen to this. She decided that we weren't good enough for her, so she's not into it.
Yeah, she moved on. We all moved on.
Yeah, whatever.
So you went there, and then so what are some venues that do you have any fond memories of anything, like any venues that you went to that are no longer open that you wish still were, anything like that?
Well, I was unfortunate that I only got to go to the Nile twice before the closure and then the reopen. I've never went to the reopen. I got to see one Basement show, Damnation, Betty Blowtorch. And then that same weekend, I guess in the main room, got to see Nerf Herder and the Hippos. And what I miss is the clubhouse. Oh, I saw some great shows.
I saw so many plays, so many bands at the clubhouse, like random bands. Cause you'd go to see one, but then obviously you'd watch the other bands. Cause it was like an event and you'd go and like, yeah, you and your friends are going to go and you're just going to hang out.
Or Nita's Hideaway. I only saw one at the original.
Where was Nita's at again?
I don't even remember. I just remember being a hole in the wall, and we were under 21, so it sucked because we were corralled into a teeny tiny spot. And I saw Not a Surf there. They were my favorite band, so I've seen Not a Surf like 5 times. I haven't seen them in a very long time, but because they're still together and recording and touring. But yeah, I saw, and then the new one, they then did a bigger one. I want to say it was in West Mesa, like Tempe area. And I saw the Gin Blossoms.
Oh, okay.
And that was pretty great.
So how did you, so obviously you've always been into music, and it's a big thing for you, like obviously because you own a record store, but so how did you start buying records? Like, was it kind of like you'd casually pick them up here and there?
I swiped a few from my mom, but most of them were all gone by the time she'd sold them off. All her Beatles, all her Pink Floyd, all her Led Zeppelin. She had some Herman's Hermits left. And so I'm like, fine, I'll take those. I don't remember the exact moment of getting into it. I wish I could. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it all night last night, and I couldn't
pinpoint.
The exact moment. But I may have been when I found she had some 45s, and it was Brown Sugar and Jumpin' Jack Flash, the Rolling Stones, and Riders on the Storm, the Doors. But the Doors one was cracked clean in half. And I fixed it. I just taped it on the paper, and it was playable. Like, I lined it up, and then I taped the paper, and I was like, oh, I can play it. And she didn't have, like, a nice setup. She had, like, one of those big stacked. It was pre-CD, so it was two double tape decks, AM, FM, and then a turntable on top. And then later she had a CD player that she just hooked into the system that was separate. And so I eventually – that lived in the garage for years and years and years after it became obsolete. And I was probably, I don't know, like, probably 19 – 20, and I was like, can I take that in my room? Can I have it? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. And that's where I was thinking, like, how did I learn how to put on a record? Because I don't have any memories of her playing records at all. I remember when there was a little bit in our entertainment center, and I would take them out and I'd look at them, and I don't remember any specific covers, which I wish I could. It breaks my heart that I didn't pay better attention. She had some Supremes records that I took in from the garage, and then the couple of 45s. Oh, and she had some beat-up Beatles and Bob Dylan compilations. So those were probably technically what I'd call my first record, were Beat to Hell, Beatles, and Bob Dylan Greatest Hits.
But that's good. Like, that's where a lot of people, some people just start that way. Like, you just inherit it, or you just, someone's like, I don't want this anymore. Do you want it? Oh, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, it was me more. Like, my interest had somehow peaked, and I was like, can I have it? And she was like, yeah, I'm not using it. Go ahead. And she, I mean, unless it's collectible, in her mind, she didn't really have any attachment. And
she didn't see that coming back.
Yeah, I'm sure she's kicking herself now. Yeah, she, I guarantee you she had every Beatles record because she's a huge Beatles fan. And then I mean, I can remember the first brand new record in my collection. And I think I've pinpointed the first one I bought. I was given as a gift the vinyl pressing of Grace by Jeff Buckley by an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
So that was probably my first brand new, clean, pristine new record. And then I think the first one I ever bought was White Stripes Elephant.
Oh, okay.
At Hot Topic.
Hot Topic, hey.
Hot Topic got some exclusives.
I know. My favorite, it's kind of like my favorite story is I was starting to, this is probably around this time I was just starting to buy new records, and I saw Demon Days by Gorillaz and She Wants Revenge, first album. And I'm like, I heard some song off these. I saw them at Hot Topic. I was like, I've heard these. I'm going to buy them. I've got some money. Bought them. I listened to maybe each of them like once, twice. And then fast forward several years. It was like maybe 2 years ago. I was at Zia, the one in Phoenix. I was Christmas shopping, just finishing it up. Because that's what I do at Zia. At the very end of my Christmas shopping, if I have any holes, I just spend like 2-3 hours in Zia and I finish.
Yo, you're going to find something for everyone.
Yeah, just gift cards or miscellaneous.
Yeah. Gift cards is my absolute last resort.
I hate doing gift. I'd rather do with something personal, but yeah. And he gets pissed off at me.
I do not want to spend any more time than I have to.
I like putting in the time. I mean, this year, everyone's getting stuff from my distributor. Not necessarily records, because my distributor does like toys and books and stuff. So I'm like, get ready, guys. But... Or they're going to get gift cards just because today, this year has been so tight and stressful and busy with opening a new business that I'm just going to have to let go of that scruple. But I was up at the front and they had a glass. They have like a bin for new arrivals. And then they had a case of valuable records. And I'm looking at it and there was the Beatles Butcher Babies cover. And I'm like, ooh. But I looked at it and then next to it is Joy Division's Unknown Pleasures. And it was like they wanted twice as much. And I'm like, what? Oh my god. Like my brain exploded at that. I mean technically I'd rather have the Joy Division, then I think I'm also kind of a snot. But and then Blind Melon's first album was next to it and it was even more. And then in the bin, so my mind's already like going, what the hell? Next to it is Demon Days, Gorillaz, the original pressing from I recently looked it up. I think it was 2006. It could be completely wrong.
Right. That sounds right.
And they wanted like over $100 for it. I'm like, I bought that one as brand new. I wonder if that's mine. And so after I was done shopping, and then they had the She Wants Revenge too, and they wanted like $70. I'm like, again, I bought those brand new. And so I went home, I got on Discogs, I checked my release, and mine's a first issue.
So and you're like, hey.
That's kind of like, I never thought that would be the jewel of my collection. And it's near mint because I've listened to it maybe twice.
That's so funny. There's because you just buy it because you're just like, I actually like this and I want to listen to it. And then eventually
for value.
Well, and then you said you bought it at Hot Topic, right? Yep. Well, because Hot Topic used to get, because it's funny. So with us, the first record that like we bought the brand new was the Night Before Christmas soundtrack. And it was the picture disc at Hot Topic.
Listening to that made me feel so much better.
Well, and it was seriously.
And it was on clearance. I have to keep saying that.
Yeah.
Because no one wanted it.
Cheap. No one wanted it. And there was others there. But obviously, like back then, we didn't have a lot of money. We were pretty kind of much like living not too well.
We were both young parents living on our own.
Yeah.
Hand to mouth.
yeah exactly. So we're like, this is a splurge for us, you know, but we'll buy it. It's on clearance and we're like, oh, you know, records or whatever. So we bought it and we still have that to the save. And actually at the end of one of the discs, it has a little chip in it, but it doesn't affect the play because it's just on the dead air part, but it's just like a tiny chip. But I don't care because I'm like, that's well loved. Like that was I always remember that record. Like it's one of my favorites.
And awesome. The Camelback has one of those discs and they sell it for $50.
Yeah, because two discs. It's actually two full discs, but they have only one of them and they're selling the one for $50.
Yeah, obviously I was like, hey, this is ours. I was like, oh, they're worth $50 for just the one.
Don't you love when that happens? Yeah. You just bought something because you enjoy it and you love it and then people finally caught up. It's funny, I had a re-release of that soundtrack, a picture disc in my cart for, I'm putting in a big order in the next like day or two. So I was gonna like, for Christmas that'll sell. I mean, I ended up taking it out just because I'm focusing on my genres where I'm really thin, because there's a couple of genres where I'm not like super versed in, so they ended up being kind of thin. I don't want to be that guy, so it's like there's no rock in it at all, because that's my main thing is rock, and like our rock and country is like robust, and so but yeah, so I, I'll, if the other stuff sells fast enough and I can put in a Christmas order before Christmas, I might get it. But yeah, that's congrats. That's great. I love when that happens. It just makes me so happy.
You just love.
So moving to like, why did you open the shop here? What was your inspiration to the shop?
My inspiration was actually, I guess inverse. It was negative. I had some really bad experiences at a particular shop that shall remain nameless, where they treated me really poorly. I can't pin down if it was whether I'm a girl or because they perceived me to be young and inexperienced. I mean, I was in my 20s at the time, but I tend to read a little younger than I am. I was ignored on the best of occasions, it was fine. I don't need my handheld. Like, I knew what I was looking for. And then I remember only asking for help once. I asked if they had Nick Cave. They had Nick Cave. And they had like a new, I think it was like a trainee or something. He was like, y'all, you know, all we have is like this Ginderman thing. And I was like, but I remember the clerk being like giving me a look.
Like you on Nick Cave?
Yeah, like, ugh, like whatever. Like he just looked like really pained. And but the big thing happened was I was finally starting to get some money. I'd been out of work for a while and finally got a job and I had some money to spend. Like I had some, you know, piece of crap turntables. I had multiples at home, but they were all pretty shitty. So I was like, I'm gonna get a new vintage one. I'm gonna get a nice one. So at the time, the record store had vintage gear, and so I was looking at it. It was right next to the counter, and I was just everything I'd ever found up until that point, stylus had been broken. So I was gently looking, like kind of lifting up the arm a little bit to see if the stylus was intact, and the person just jumped all over me. And they're like, don't touch them, they're very fragile. I'm like, oh, okay, okay. But in the meantime, the previous visit, my husband, who was looking at the gear, and they didn't say squat to him. So just his attitude, I was like, okay, fine. I turned on my heel and walked out. And I'm like, I'm not coming back. And then I got so incensed when I was sitting in the car before I drove away that I'm like, you know what? I'm never coming back, and I'm going to tell them. So I marched in all high and mighty and like gave him what for. And I'm like, I'm never shopping here. I'm dirt poor, but I spent so much money here. And blah, 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 blah. And he just was like, well, they're very fragile. And I'm like, I've got three at home, I know. And then he sort of like took a step back and was like, oh. And then like sort of like, well, you know, you shouldn't touch them, they're fragile. And so I'm never shopping here again. I've got other places to choose from that treat me better and have just as good of stuff. So I'm never coming back. And he literally opened his palm, put his hand in my face, and went, well, bye.
Oh, no.
So I am very proud to this day that I have never shopped at that store again. They're not in the original location, that's all I'll say. So, but they're still around. And they kind of have a bad rep. But some people love them, some people don't. And he's like, yeah, no, there's better people to shop with. Like,
but you turned, that was such a negative experience you had, but you're like, so how did you immediately get the idea, or?
It was probably like pretty close on where I'm like, I bet so many other people deal with this. And I immediately assumed that it was because I was a woman. And, you know, it could have been a variety of things. But it was like, I was like, there should be like a female centric record shop. And I was thinking, I mean, like, I later learned out that the owner of Stinkweeds is a woman. But like, I mean, Stinkweeds has its own identity, but it's like gender neutral. And I was like, I would love there to be like a real like feminine, like female centric place where, I mean, everyone is welcome, but like that's very specific to like making women feel comfortable. And then so it was probably around that time. And then I think it was my husband who was like, do it. Like, why don't you do it? And so like, and there was one point where like I lost a job and he was like, this is the perfect time to do it. Let's do it. You hate these soul sucking office jobs. Do it. And then some things came up, and then I got a good office job, so like it disappeared. I left that job like last summer. My dad passed away and left me a little bit of money. I then promptly lost my job, and again he started up with the do it, do the record shop, do it. Like, you're never gonna have this money again. Do it.
This is the time to do it.
So that so it was rattling around in my head for many years. I never ever 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 thought it was actually going to come to fruition ever. But it evolved from the girls only to, which was never girls only, but you know,
yeah,
lady power, to more people are feeling ostracized by the community. It's all of these older straight white dudes that are pushing anyone else that does not fit that out. Then either they're actively doing it by their behavior, or it's the casual.
Some of them know they're doing it, and some of them consciously do not know. It's a subconscious thing, but it doesn't mean that it's right for them to do it.
And that's, I mean, I really appreciated some of the stuff that you've talked about, but especially your etiquette episode. I really appreciated that. I agreed with, I think, everything. But the, like, being mindful of your space and your, what you're doing could influence this, this younger person or this new collector's entire experience and how they move forward in this. And it's so much fun and such a pleasure that it would hurt my heart to think that I did that, that I pushed someone out of something that could be a really rewarding hobby and community for them. That, I mean, that, that experience with me at that unnamed record shop made me actually feel like, okay, well, I don't belong in this community. This is not for me. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing my thing and keep shopping, keep collecting. But I'm just not going to be involved in the community. I will be an island unto myself. And that's how I've been up until now, pretty much. So I'm only getting wind of the fact that there's people like yourselves trying to build it up and trying to make it welcoming for everybody. Young people, women, inexperienced, everything. And then, I mean, then I tack on, like people of color. Like, it's such a white hobby, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's perceived, I mean, as a white person.
Yeah, it's perceived that way unless people perceive it that way unless you're, like, a turntablist. Because then they're, like, they think of
the DJs.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So funk. Exactly. So it's, like, that's, like we said, it's the point of the podcast to, like, meld everyone together. And, like, we've run into tons of things that we have not even talked about on here that are just mind-blowing, that it's like, what, you know?
I mean, did I ever tell the story when I was at the Knights of Columbus show and I was trying to buy a Stax record and the
seller?
I don't
think so, no.
Yeah, so I was buying a Stax 45. I don't know what it was, but, you know, I like Stax, the label itself, and usually has good music on there. He's like, okay, it's like this much. And so I was getting the money. He's like, yeah, it's a Stax. And I felt like telling the guy, listen, motherfucker, you don't have no right to be talking to me that way. You don't know me, and I don't know you, and you're old as shit, and I hope you die.
And I'm going to come to your estate sale and buy all your shit. Yeah. That's my thing.
A penny.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, and that's the attitude. We talk about it all the time. People having negative experiences. Obviously, we've encountered that a lot. You know, even with the experiences of, like, certain genres, it can get, even when you delve more into, like, certain genres, like we were talking earlier, before the interview. You know, people get really, really hoity-toity and, like, high and mighty because they feel like they know everything. But, again, listen, dude, I don't need to know everything. You can sit all your time, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But why don't you share some of that education that you know and share those facts and things like that to educate other people instead of being an asshole and be like, well, you don't know shit, so, you know, whatever. It's all, well, you know, I could know more, but you're being an asshole.
You're not sharing.
Yeah.
I'm ignorant because you're hoarding all the information. And that's...
Is it that I'm ignorant and I don't care, or is it that you're not out there sharing information and willing to educate people on certain things? It's like, that's the point. Like, music was made to be shared.
Exactly.
So keeping it to yourself and being selfish and stingy is completely stupid and greedy and ugly. And I don't understand. I'm like, you don't even make that music. Like, if you're Prince and you made it and you locked it in your vault, okay, I get it. You're entitled to do that, Prince, because you made that or whatever, or whoever you are. But if you didn't even make the music and you're, like we're saying, there's a lot of soul collectors that they'll play stuff. And if you ask them, like, hey, what's that? And they'll be like, oh, I'm not going to tell you what it is.
They'll literally have, they'll play like a 45 and they'll have like an adapter that goes on top that covers the label.
Yeah, they do.
Because it's,
I love this thing. I want to share it. That's my...
But it's more or less that it's in the newest thing right now is like the clout and like what you represent and stuff like that. And so like with social media being a big thing, obviously there's tons, like we were talking before again, there's people that we meet online or whatever that are really awesome, but there's like this whole other spectrum of people who just suck ass, who are just not good people. And it's just like, man, I wish that you weren't such an asshole so we can talk about music. Yeah. Because I love music, and that's this is what it's all about. You're an asshole, so that doesn't work for you because you care more about people recognizing what you have in your collection as opposed to educating people on what you have in your collection. So it's just one of those things.
I completely agree. I mean, I'm proud of my collection, but I buy what I listen to.
Yes.
I mean, buy what you like.
Yeah, I mean, I have some like fun ones where I just bought for the novelty, mostly like soundtracks, especially when I was getting serious. I'm like, yoink, 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 these are cheap. I know this movie. It's not meant to be locked in a vault, and it's not meant to be hoarded. That's a pet peeve of mine as a vintage collector in general. Like, I collect a lot of vintage toys and clothes and decor, and people can get very hoardy. And I fight it because I have a no duplicates rule. Because some people, like, there's these rubber toys from the 60s and people really like them. And people will buy all of them that they find. And there's certain variations on them.
Are you talking about, like, the Koopies or Koopai? How do you pronounce it?
Well, Koopies are.
Yeah, Koopies, yeah.
That's actually one thing where I put a pin in my rule of no duplicates because all of my Koopies are different sizes. So I figure as long as they're different sizes.
Yeah, I have a variation of Koopies.
But, like, there's ones where, like, there'll be... I mean, you guys can see, and I have a case in here with one, okay. And it's an elephant. It's a pink elephant. So it's kind of our unofficial mascot. And there's a couple variations on him where he has, like, a different color headdress. And so, like, okay, that's okay. They're color variants. That's acceptable. But then people will have the same exact color variant. Mine's pink on pink that's in here. I have one that has a gray headdress. So, okay, I bought two. People have, like, two or three of the pink on pink. So that... in anything,
but it's more just to say that they have it
infuriates me. So I apply that.
Then you talk to them like, "Oh, would you be interested in selling that?" Yeah, sure, but I'll sell it to you 10
times. Huge markup.
Yeah, a markup. It's like, well, I'll pay you your finder's fee, no problem. I understand that there's, you know, supply and demand, understandable. Then that goes back into records and, you know, people spending gobs of money, thousands of dollars on one song.
No, I can't do it.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, I'll find someone to cut that illegally for me if I really need to. I'll find someone out there. Someone will do it.
Our thing is, we want to listen to it. It's not the having necessarily. It's experience.
Yeah. I mean, but there's plenty of comps out there where you can listen to that song. It's not the individual song, but it's still the song. But people want that one, the original copy. And it goes into that rabbit hole of, like, nonsense.
Yeah, I don't know what it is us about humans. I think it's a human condition thing, though, where we get really excited about having something so unique or something so valuable. I don't know if it's the shiniest pebble or what, like, how that starts. Like, my rock's shinier than yours. So I don't know, like, the root of it or what the psychology or, you know, our lizard brain, what that does for us. But that's definitely something that we do. And I think that that's the record version of it. But, yeah, I see it. I don't understand it. And that's not me. So, like, I think we're all on the same page of our feelings. Like, I really appreciated the preaching the good Crosley gospel. Because as you can see, I've got some. They're comparable to Crosley's that I sell. They're perfect starters. So yeah. I'm not going to be elitist about that. Like, I've got a rebuilt Hitachi at home. Like, that's good, but I'm not going to just sell that stuff. Like, I'm an official Audio Technica distributor. I don't have any in stock right now, but I'm not just going to sell 200-300 and up systems. That's just not feasible.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody who wants, like, I mean, we talk about, like I said, Crosley's, if you can get a secondhand one that has a decent cartridge on it, if you have, but, you know, there's just so much goes into it. If you have a receiver, if you have a power amplifier. So, but those all-in-one units, you just plug that shit in and you put your record on there and play it.
Well, like us, we, our first was the Crosley. And then lately, usually, honestly, it's my daughter kind of took it and it was hers. And then we changed her system and she has a different one now. But we have the Crosley in the living room and it was just been sitting there. And it's so convenient. We started using it again when we were trying to test some records out.
Yeah, well, because our turntables were boxed up and the coffin's heavy, and I really didn't feel like setting it up. So we had got some records. I was like, I'm just going to play these on the Crosley because it's right there. I just need to turn it on literally and play it instead of me dragging this heavy-ass coffin across the room, setting it up, plugging everything in, checking everything. I just wasn't about that life that night. So, you know, and so we ended up just using it for, like, a good couple of days, or, like, when we just want to play something real quick and just relax and not have to go turn everything on or, you know, set everything up. It's just different. It's just something so much more simple. And, you know, there's a lot of people who, again, frown and shame, but it's just...
I've read the forums.
Yeah. There's just so many people, and it's just, like, you know, not everybody has a large budget. When, like you said, we were not wealthy in any way, shape, or form. We were young parents, and, you know, that's all we can afford. And then you get what you can afford.
Exactly. That's what anytime I would like, especially friends at, like, my call center jobs, I always ended up befriending people that were, like, in their late teens or late 20s. And I always felt like I was kind of in the middle of, because usually at, like, retail call centers or office, you have old ladies and you have got, like, people fresh out of school. And I'm the one that was, you know, in my 20s and 30s, right in the middle and kind of straddling the both of those worlds of old lady and kid. That's why I'd be like, I remember I made a really good friend named Tatiana, and she was like, I don't remember she bought something or she was interested in a record. And I'm like, and she's like, but I want a turntable. I'm like, go to Target. They have these really cute briefcases. They're by a company called Crosley. It's like $60. You just plug it in. Boom, you're done. And I was like, they're really cute. They've got colors. Like, you never put on a record, buy a Crosley if you're interested. Mm-hmm. I remember when all you could get was those the big all-in ones.
That's the exact one we had. That's and we bought ours at Target and it was on sale.
Yeah,
those ones were a little more expensive because they had all the other options. Mm-hmm. But now they're like with the briefcase, and now I guess the briefcase has more options.
Yeah, there's so many more things. They've got Bluetooth
and an SD card slot. Like mine doesn't. It's just a record player. But mine's a couple years old. I mean, I have a Crosley briefcase at home. I've got my big setup in the front room, but I hang out mostly in my bedroom. And our apartment's from the 50s, so the bedrooms are itty bitty. So I have an IKEA like cube shelf like that's 4x4, and then I have got my little Crosley suitcase on that, and I have my favorite albums in one of the cubes, and that actually gets way more play than my Hitachi because I just don't. If we're going to be in the front room, we're watching TV,
yeah,
or like cooking or something. It's one big great room. And so, yeah, that Crosley gets way more play.
I think, too, it's because, like, it's the experience of it. So, you know, you're just going to put it on there and you're going to turn on. It's going to play. I mean, and it does do that on the other one, but it's just, like, the convenience. Because the other way doing it, especially if you're continually changing it, it can feel like a chore sometimes. Yes, so you just want it to be this quick go experience. And be like, okay, I'm listening to it and that's it. And I'm going to put it on. And that, you know, there's not listening to levels or nothing like that.
Yeah, you don't have to balance anything. That's my friend's, one of my best friends has one of those, and I don't know if she whitewashed it herself or if it came, it looks very shabby chic, so I don't know if it came that way or she did it. She may have did it. But I was asking, before we opened, they live super close to my shop, so I was picking up her daughter from school, who's 14, and I was like, so your mom has that turntable, do you think she wants something nicer? Like, I can get, like, a distributor's price, I'd love to do it for Christmas or her birthday, like, it makes it super easy. I give her something nice and not, like, break the bank. And she's like, I don't know, I don't think so. I think she's happy with it. And she's like, I think she just wants more records. And so I just finally, I'm like, okay. I asked Verity, and she was no help. So do you want this thing? And she's like, no, I like mine. I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, that's
keep
cool.
On. Keep on keeping on then, girl. I will get you some rare Nine Inch Nails records. And that's like, that's what she wants. And I will do my best to get those. And okay, rock on.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's about just enjoying the music.
Exactly. Yep. And it matches our house. So that's fine.
So Pink and Elephant, what's the story behind the name?
It's a motif I especially enjoy. As a vintage collector, it's on a lot of barware and just kind of like bar decor, napkins and dish rags. And it's just a motif I especially enjoy. My favorite color is pink. And I don't know, it jumped right out to me as like, I think my husband asked, well, what would you name it? And I'm like, Pink Elephant. and my joke is that why I named it that is though, so if anyone's ever in an antique store or a thrift shop and they see something that's vintage Pink Elephant, they'll buy it and give it to me because it'll make them think of me.
That's so very clever.
That's only a half joke. I'm not
yeah, but I wouldn't be opposed.
Yeah, if you find these Pink Elephant figurines, yay big. Yeah, keep me in mind. but yeah, I'm a big glassware collector. I like cups and pitchers and barware, and there's of course a lot with pink elephants because pink elephant is synonymous with drunkenness and hallucination. So
yeah, I thought of Dumbo when
the parade of is the pink elephant parade. I can't remember. I'm curious because they're doing a live action Dumbo that's coming out. How are they going to do
I'm
that?
I'm not going to watch the trailer because I don't want to cry because Dumbo just touches my heart.
I saw an Instagram one, so it's a real cut one, and I didn't watch it with any sound, so it was enough, of course, you know, with the sad clown face. Yes. Part of me is like, they beefed up the human story. It's all humans, so it's like, oh no.
It should always be about the Dumbo.
Yes.
The elephant.
But the sweet baby elephant.
And him getting drunk.
Yes.
Yo, that's my boy Dumbo.
But then, some boy get drunk.
But then I always, that comes to me back to Bob's Burgers, and they do a bit with that thing, but it's anuses.
No.
It's butts. I don't know if anyone, you know, watches Bob's Burgers. One of the character's sister, Linda's sister, she's eccentric and she's painting, and all she was painting is animals' backsides with their anuses. And so there's a hallucination that she has then with it's the dance or the song with the pink elephants in Dumbo, but it's just butts. It's butts, 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 butts. And it's like these neon outline of animals' just butts, though, it's just with their little pink buttholes. And so that's actually my ringtone on my phone, is that song, is butts, 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 butts. Because I want to be Louise Belcher, but I'm Tina Belcher. So I can't. I loved butts in high school, and I was boy crazy, and I like fan fiction, and then I got glasses and bangs. So I'm always going to be Tina Belcher.
That's so funny.
That's the nice thing about having an audio engineer husband. Anytime you hear something that I want that as a ringtone, he's like, okay, done.
He just makes it for
he
you.
He makes it. He's made lots of fun things for me. I can't think of the other ones off the top of my head, but yeah.
So do you miss, I kind of miss ringtones, like when everybody had a ringtone, because it's like personal, like you hear it and you're like, oh, okay.
I can tell you my first ringtone.
What was it?
El Scorcho by Weezer. It was on my razor.
And did you have the pink razor?
No, I had a black one. I wanted the pink one real bad, but it was exciting just to get the razor because we were flat broke. I don't even know how my mom got it. We were going to Disneyland. She refinanced the house. That was how. We went to Disneyland, got a new roof. She bought a car, and she bought me a razor.
How cute. Oh, my gosh, and the razor.
Then my favorite, though, it's, I have a favorite ringtone story. Mine, for the longest time, for my best friend, her text and ringtone was the opening line of Age of Consent by New Order. And, like, she loved that song, and so it was just this, like, so I was going to her house, and I was stopping to get a soda. And it went off very loudly. And this guy next to me goes, Joy Division, nice. And I'm like, actually, it's New Order.
Was he like, oh.
Oh, no. He's like, oh, right, yeah. And I was like, oh. But, you know, of course, I have to try and be nice. Be like, well, you're almost right. Because New Order is most of the members of Joy Division after Ian Curtis died. I wish I could have just been like, you know, giving him a side eye. But I was like, no, you're almost right. You have to be the nice girl.
Hey, but you have, like, there's nothing wrong, because then if they say that to somebody else that's a jerk off, then they're going to be mean. And you're being like, well, actually, you know, I'm just letting you know. I don't want somebody else to be a jerk to you. Or, like,
those are my favorite moments, though, especially is to, like, to one-up boys. Because I don't know, maybe I've got a chip on my shoulder of being treated poorly and people being elitists at me. So I don't try and be elitist back, but I like having the knowledge.
Yeah, if they're going to say something to you, you're just like, well, actually, actually. Am I that way, Andrew, to guys?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Hey, you know what? I applaud it, because sometimes, especially white dudes need to be taken down a little bit of a peg. I'm not saying, like, abuse them. I'm just saying, like, hey, you're wrong.
It's okay. And it is. And I think that there's that inferiority complex that we have as women. Yeah. And then there's other layers that go into it, because if you have another, you know, thing going against you, like if you're trans or, you know, you're gay or lesbian or you're a person of color and stuff, that just there's all so many things that the layers of it that you're afraid to speak up. Like, even if you know, like, somebody's wrong and you're like, I know they're wrong, but I'm not going to say anything because I just, maybe I'm wrong. Like, you start questioning yourself. Yeah. And
that's
like
my big thing.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's okay. And it's, and, but then we have to come to terms with, it's okay to be wrong. Like, it's okay for someone to say, oh, actually, you know, as long as they're not doing it in a mean way, like, obviously, because some people get off on it, like, I'm right or whatever. But there's a way, it's okay to be wrong, and it's okay for people to share information with you and say, actually, did you know this or this, this and that? But we definitely, as women, do suffer from that of biting our tongue too much.
Yes.
Because we don't want to cause any type of waves or, like, you know,
we don't make anyone uncomfortable. Yeah. We're socialized to be polite. Fuck politeness.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I agree. So, like, our daughter, she, I laugh because, so sometimes, like, he'll, well, this is a personal story. He'll probably be like, don't tell it, but I don't care. I'm going to tell it because this is the time to tell it. So, like, he's in the house and he's passing by and he, like, smacked me on the butt, but, like, jokingly. Mm-hmm. And my daughter's like, hey, did you ask mom if you could touch her?
I think that she's thinking that way.
But
that's good.
But yeah, so we don't discourage her and tell, like, hey, and he's like, oh, sorry. He's like, sorry, next time I'll ask you. Like, he said it in front of her because, you know, but good. She's understanding the concept of consent and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm like, okay, we're doing something right. Like, no, and then she can tell her dad too, like, hey, you know what I mean? Because some little girls are like, I don't want to tell my daddy anything. No, she doesn't care.
That's, I would applaud that all day long. That's, I mean, yeah, I mean, just having that concept, that consent is a thing, even between, like, people in a relationship. Yeah. The yes, consent still exists.
Yes.
And then, so I would say, good job.
Thank you.
But yeah, that makes me very happy. So even if she doesn't want that story told, tell her that, like, I'm proud of her. I've never met her, but that's any time, like, a young woman has that stuff that's, I joke that I don't have to fix them. Is my one of our assistants that helped us with every aspect of building up the shop is actually my husband's boss's daughter, and she's 20, and she's amazing. I love her. She's my right hand girl, and like she's strong and she's confident and she gives no fucks, and like she's skateboard. She's part of a skateboard group, and like I don't know. I met her at the start of this. My husband's known her for many, many years, and he's kind of like uncle to her, I think. So I finally got to know her really well, and it's like, I love this. I don't have to, quote, fix her. I don't have to, like, unfuck her brain from all the programmed misogyny that women internalize. Like, she's so good at all of that already. It's so nice to just, I mean, not when I say fix, it sounds so horrible, but it's like, I care about my girlfriends. And I don't want them to have shitty relationships. I don't want them to beat themselves up over stupid ass things. And so, like, I want to help them move beyond those things as gently as you can. Well, sometimes with some friends, you have to sort of like shake them. But with her, it's so perfect because it's just like, nope, we're on the right level. You're great. I love you. We see eye to eye. You're perfect. When I can afford employees, she's it.
Like, well, okay. So this is my question too. Then so. Have you ever encountered, like, whether it's record collecting or whatever, like, another woman kind of not realizing that they're kind of, like, shaming you, but in a way that they are misogynistic, too? Like,
I mean, I'm sure I've experienced that in other aspects. As being someone was very sort of self-isolated, I guess, from the community, I don't know a ton of collectors. And the ones that I do have good conversations with tend to be guys, which I'm not the kind of like, I'm only friends with boys because girls are too much drama. Yeah. All of my friends are women.
I hate that.
We always talk about that.
I mean, I have friends on both ends, but I don't purposely seek out friendships from men, and then nothing because I don't, it's not one of those things where it's like, I don't want them to think something about me. It's like, I just befriend people. But yeah, like I've experienced that where people have told me exactly what you just said, and I don't get that because I'm like, if you're a woman and you're gonna tell me that you only have negative experiences with women, then you got to look in the mirror because there's something going on there. I mean,
they've been fucked in the brain by the patriarchy.
But
there's also some self-hatred, I think, in that. Like my one of my best friends, 14-year-old daughter that I mentioned, she said that to me, and I'm just like, when you get a little older, you're really going to change your mind.
You're going to look back on the fact that you said this and cringe at yourself and be like, wow, I come a long way.
Yeah, I mean, I was never like that. All of my friendships, especially all the meaningful ones, except for maybe one, were all with women. I don't have any real guy friends that aren't like maybe like couple friends that I have with my husband.
I know what you mean.
Like our good friend who just came in out of town, like saw a shop for the first time. He's a man. He was also our minister. I'm an atheist. My husband's a Buddhist. When we got married, it was a whole thing. Like, we got him ordained. So we didn't have someone, and I didn't just want a stranger. So
yeah.
But I consider him, like, he's kind of like a couple friend because he's both of our friends. All my most important relationships have been with women outside of my marriage. I'm trying to think of like a specific example of someone being especially shitty that was a woman. I mean, can it be my mom?
Well, yes, it could be anybody. And I think it's just disappointing. I think in that aspect, especially when you're trying to, it feels like sometimes you're trying to do things and you're just like, and I think people know that it's out there, but when it confronts you, it's like, what the heck? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and it's just one of those things where it's like, is it even worth addressing? Because sometimes people get defensive or they don't understand where you're coming from because they're not on the same brainwave as you, and not that you're better or anything like that.
And it would just be too exhausting to...
Yes, because sometimes
to call them out.
It's not worth educating because it's just not worth your time. Don't entertain stuff, so... But I'm super glad that you're here, and I love that it's pink because some women are afraid of pink because they feel like it's, you know, like
too feminine.
But I'm like, no, embrace pink. It's beautiful. Like, I love pink. And what's funny is it's true how pink used to be actually the masculine color.
And blue is the femme.
And blue is the femme. But you know, it's not like that anymore for whatever reason. But I love pink. I think it's beautiful. And I love that your mascot's the pink elephant. Maybe it's because I love Disney too.
I mean, elephants are noble. It's a matriarchy. I didn't even think about that. Elephants are family groups run by women. Mm-hmm. And then like the males sort of like come and go. So there's that. And I mean, but they're also, they're very intelligent animals. They're very thoughtful. They have long memories, which I always used to think I had, but the older I get, it's evaporating. but yeah, so I mean, and also, feminine is not anti-feminist. That's yes, one of my exactly. I had to unfuck my own brain for such a long time of like, I have girly interests, but I have also have serious interests. Like, no, they can be one in the one same, and they same, can come yeah. together. Like when I was trying to go to college, I was like, well, I want to major in fashion design, but that's so shallow. I have to do a double major with photography because it has to be. I have to have an artistic, you're like, quote unquote, artistic.
I have
artistic.
To balance myself.
I have it's to like, be serious.
Yeah.
And then it just so much be like, no, you can be a feminist and you can like fashion. You can like girly things. Feminine is not anti-feminist. So exactly. That's kind of, I want this to be sort of a walking monument to that. And also everyone is included here. Like I think our conversation has focused a lot about women and in the scene and how that affects us, but like it's open to everyone except Nazis. Nazi punks can fuck off.
Yo, dead Kennedys.
And well, that's you know the whole thing of like, being intolerant of me, so what's all this thing for tolerance? Like no,
I'm not gonna tolerate intolerance.
Exactly.
Like yeah, that's just silly. Yeah.
So yeah, but everything, like, but my whole thing is it's open to everyone who loves music, but especially I want to sort of, I don't know, be the sister or the mother to anyone that's felt othered within the community.
Like,
so,
what is it, the Christmas special, the Island of the Misfit Toys?
Love to be seen as that. To be the beacon. I have like a really shitty Tumblr blog called The Internet's Big Sister, because that's like, I want to take care of, like, my whole thing is like teenage girls, but it's anyone that like I can't have kids, so like I try and like adopt like people and try like our her name is Laurel, our, like, I call her my assistant because she basically just helped us for what I could pay basically. And then she's already had my first spot when I can afford to pay her full time. She's gonna be my employee, because until then it's just me. My husband comes in when he can, but it's just me here every day. If you come in, it's gonna be me. But like, yeah, that.
So well, I but that's good, because I mean, it's kind of like, I know what you're saying, because like we ask, a question that we ask is like, kind of every business has an identity. So you're saying that's what you want it to be. I want it to be that, you know, everyone's welcome here from all walks of life. Don't think that you can't come in here, whether it's because you just started collecting or you've been collecting a long time, or don't think you can't come in here because you're a man, or, you know, because you feel othered in some type of aspect or someone shamed you, because this is a space for everyone.
Yes.
Except if you're an intolerant a-hole, don't come over here.
Like, I can say my favorite thing is like, if you've never put on a record, come in, I will show you. And I've already done it at least once.
Oh, that's awesome. So how did that feel?
It felt really good. my little brother was hanging out with me last week, and he's 22. And he was talking to about a friend that was like, he was interested in getting some records and a turntable. So he came in the next day by himself. He's like, hey, I'm a friend of Matt's. And he bought Demon Days, Gorillaz, and he bought one of We Sell Rock and Rolla brand turntables. They're completely comparable to the Crossleys. I at the time was like, oh, they're better because they have all these other options. And then I learned Crossley has all these other options now too. But they're exactly the same. They're briefcase, they're plug and play, go. And so he bought one of those. And so as I'm checking him out, I'm like, so here's a question. Have you ever put on a record? And he goes, no. And I was like, do you want me to show you? And he's like, yes, please. So I have a demo of the exact same turntable that he bought. And so I plugged it in. I got like a shitty record out just to make sure. So there was no damage to anything that was valuable. I didn't want to wreck what he just bought. So I just showed him everything.
So
and it felt really good.
Didn't you say Demon Days was the first brand new record you bought yourself? So
it was one of the first.
So your life comes full circle. Do you see how that happens?
But you know what? I can say it's really tragic, though. It was a factory defect.
Aww.
He brought it in yesterday, and well, I mean, it was really chill and cool. Like, he's like, I tried playing it, and it's like, it's skating. And so one of the sides, I think it's warped or defective in some way, that it's only one side, and it's like skipping towards the center. So it's doing that skate.
Yeah.
And it's not the turntable, because we tried it on a bunch of records, and we tried all the sides, because it's a double album. So we tried it on all four sides, and it's only doing it on one side. So I'm gonna replace it. I'm ordering a new one, but I have to see if I can get my money back. But so it was tragic to me that was his first record.
But it's okay, because you know what? He came to the right place, though, because you'll take care of him. They can come back, and he still has a positive experience. Yeah. Because that's so. What do you want people to take away from when they visit here?
I mean, that it's friendly and inclusive. That our jokes were inclusive as fuck. So like, but my husband made a meme, and that's on our Instagram. That's one of our last most recent social media posts. Pink Elephant Records is inclusive AF. And but yeah, it's just that you're welcome.
I'm happy. I'm happy because this is actually the first time we've ever met Danielle. We've never been here to the record store or met her, but I feel like I know her like forever already.
I'm also very open book, so ask me anything.
But I guess before we wrap it up here, since you used to hang out like in the area, so I remember back in like the late 90s and early 2000s, I feel like there was kind of like a punk scene out here, especially like it was a little bit more. I know there's still something out there now, and maybe it's just because I was a little bit more in tune with it back in, but I never went. But did you ever go to Nick's 24/7 Pizza?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? I'm shocked. I know everybody and their mom went there. I never did, though, either.
I lived in East Mesa, and for a big chunk of that time when that was all happening for me, we didn't have a car.
Really? So you never went? But I used to remember people would go, and they would go to that place and talk about it, because it was open. It was like one of the only 24-hour mm-hmm. places here, like in the valley or whatever, and a lot of the punk rock kids I remember used to go hang out.
I think I remember seeing that on, there used to be a show on Comedy Central that was Insomniac. It was a comedian.
Yes, yeah. I used to watch it with my
and
cousin.
And I think he, because he did like Tempe and Scottsdale. He didn't even go to Phoenix. Yeah, he didn't go to, I mean, of course he didn't go to Mesa. But I remember being like, there's so much stuff that he missed. But I think he went there. Because I remember there being a 24/7 pizza joint in it. I just remember it also being a really shitty episode. Because like, Last Call is, I think it was one still there. Or maybe it's still been midnight. I don't know. I remember him being like, Last Call super early. It sucks.
I used to watch that. I used to love watching Insomniac. Did you ever watch that, Andrew?
I did not watch
Dave
that
Attell,
show.
Dave Attell, right? Yeah, Dave Attell. Yeah, I used to watch that. I loved watching that.
Yeah, just comedian and whatever city he was in, he would just then stay up all night and just experience the nightlife.
Literally, he would go. Until so sunrise. Someone needs to do that now again, that show Insomniac. Bring it back. So
maybe a better comedian. I mean, he was fine, but
yeah, I know what you're saying.
I don't know, maybe someone a little younger.
Yes, someone a little better. So but thank you so much for allowing us in your space. Thank you for opening up your space, and just really, like we always tell people, if you have an idea, and I know it sounds really simple, but really it's hard and it's a lot of work, but the first step is just to do it, and that's what we always say, like with the podcast and all the kind of things like that. So thank you so much to Pink Elephant Records and to Danielle for opening your doors and for letting us in here and just, like we said, creating this space. And one more time, can you give your address and your hours?
Yes, the address is 2240 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 102 or 1B, and that's in Tempe, Arizona. And my hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and I am closed on Sunday and Monday at this point in time.
I like her hours because it gives opportunity for people who get off of work to come and dig.
Exactly. That was always my thing. I always worked in the middle of the day because like, I'm not getting up early. So so I always hated those early hours. So
you're
at least
person?
9. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's because I want to stay up late is my thing. I'm a night owl.
So we're kind of night owls too. So we'll make it back over here again and come dig. And maybe I'll bring my girls from the record club and stuff like that. So, but I thank you so much. And
my pleasure.
Don't stop digging, it just keeps spinning.
Thanks, guys.